When you become vulnerable, when you learn to be vulnerable, you will experience your greatest victories. Your greatest victories, because it's in that you expose sin and you take its power away. And so it's in vulnerability you'll experience some of your greatest victories. And you say, like, what's in the Bible? Where's that at? Jesus. Where was he most vulnerable? On the cross. Hanging, naked, and poor on the cross. His moment of greatest vulnerability was his moment of greatest victory, too. Right? That's where he paid for all humanity. So let's just try to practice that today. And I'm going to turn it over to James. James is an amazing speaker, and he's one of our church leaders. We're blessed to have him and his wife. And you're just going to be fired up after listening to James. We love him. And so he's going to talk about addictions, okay? So now that we've cracked open, you know, with vulnerability, now we're going to start recognizing some addictions. And so why don't you give it up for James, amen?
Thank you. Good to be here. Continuing on this theme of vulnerability, if Pastor kind of cracked it open, have you ever seen or heard about a person getting heart surgery? They put that little thing in, they crack it open, and they start winding it. We're going to start winding now. We're going to start cracking it up, so you're going to feel some pain, but it's all for a purpose. Keeping that theme of vulnerability going, one of the things that we as men don't like to do is ask for help. How many of you have ever put something together and there's extra screws and pieces left? Right? Hey, that manufacturer was so generous to give me those extra screws and things, right? We don't like to ask for help. Why don't you ask them? We don't like to do that, right? That's men. And so I'm going to demonstrate, because one of the things we believe, too, is that knowledge plus experience equals true heart transformation. So we're not here just to talk about it. We're going to do it, right? Everybody needs to put their Nikes on today. We're going to just do it. All right, so I'm going to demonstrate. Watch this. I'm going to ask for help. Brother Richie, would you come up and pray for me before I get started? See that? Vulnerability, right?
Father God, Lord, we just thank you for each and every one of these men. We thank you that the word that you have prepared for my brother James right here is going to penetrate into the hearts of us. Father God, I pray that this word lands on softened hearts and open ears today. Lord, we just bless each and every one of these men today and our speakers. Thank you for having them down here to join us together in our family. And the ability to lock arms with our brothers in arms and suit up for this battle in Jesus' name. Amen.
And amen. Thank you. He didn't know that was going to happen. But one of the things I got to tell you that my observation coming here is the men here are very inviting. I don't know if you guys experienced that. People came up out of their seats, came up, shook hands, and that's something that's unique. I'm in a lot of men's groups, and they can be very cliquey. Men kind of sit at the same tables. They don't share. People that don't look like them, they don't say hi to. But I noticed as I walked around, because that's what I do, but people got up and shook hands. So that's something I want to just share with you. If you don't know that, keep building on that, you know. So my name is James Madison. I'm a kingdom man doing kingdom business. Everybody say kingdom business, right? It's all about kingdom business. So I want to tell you what that means. It's not just something that I say. Let me give you the definition of a kingdom man. Ready? A kingdom man can be defined as a man who visibly demonstrates the comprehensive rule of God under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Here's the most important part. In every area of his life. If you look up every in the dictionary, it means every. It doesn't mean some. So I want to read that again. A kingdom man is defined as a man who visibly demonstrates. That means if you were in a court of law and someone was accusing you of being a kingdom man, there'd be enough evidence to prove it, to convict you, right? You wouldn't get off scot-free, right? So visibly demonstrate the comprehensive rule of God under the lordship of Jesus Christ in every area of your life. So that's what I strive to be as a kingdom man. You guys are kingdom men. It's all about alignment and submission. And God never expected us to act independently of him. It's to do things from him, not for him, but from him. It's from God's power that flows through us that we have power and not force. Does anybody know the difference between power and force? So force is when we're doing it and we're trying to generate the energy, right? We're trying to do it. It's what I call hustle. Power is when we're lined up with God in the I am moment, which is the only moment we have. We don't have yesterday. We don't have tomorrow yet. We have this moment. And when we're lined up with him in that moment, his power flows through us. And it's easy. We don't have to work to generate anything. And guess what? The places we will go are exceedingly, abundantly greater than we can hope for, imagine, and pray. Amen? So it's about just being lined up with him, letting go. And so one of the things, ways that I serve the Lord is what I call in the marketplace ministry. So I'm in the business world, right? I'm an executive coach. So I spend a lot of time speaking, teaching, and coaching all day long. Because I'm doing that, I'm not usually sharing a lot about myself. I'm asking questions of my clients. And so when I'm presenting something, it's usually very buttoned up, everything dialed in. So here's vulnerability number two. A couple of weeks ago, Pastor Ben said, I want you to talk on two topics, or maybe last week, addiction and marriage. And I'm like, marriage? Do it in my sleep. I could do it now. I've been doing that for years. Addiction? Woo, come on, Jesus. That's the one talk I don't have prepared. So I've been meditating on it. 5:30 this morning, I have to leave at 6:30. I get a word from God. I go to my office. I pull out some things, and I'm like, man, this is not buttoned up like I normally have it, slides and ready to go. But I'm like, I told my wife, I said, you know what? I'm going to tell you something that I don't want you to know. I'm normally buttoned up when I talk. Even on Sunday morning for introductions, I kind of have my bullet points. I said, I'm not that buttoned up. But I've never had more peace because I'm just going to really test this whole Holy Spirit showing up. How many of you know that God does not call the equipped, but he equips the called? Amen? And so I believe that, but do I really trust in that when I'm so overprepared? And so what you guys are going to see today is the Holy Spirit. My job is to say, hi, my name is James. I'm a kingdom man. Thank you for listening. If you don't like anything I say, you talk to God. Because I'm not responsible because I didn't prepare it. Amen. So we're gonna practice this. So I want everybody to write this down. Here's something I don't want you to know. Everybody write that down. Here's something I don't want you to know. This is the way you can practice being vulnerable. I learned this from a coach of mine. It's an easy way to break us into sharing things, to be vulnerable. It's just to say, I'm going to tell you something I don't want you to know. And it just cracks it open. And then whatever comes out is the thing. Okay? So I want you to look at somebody next to you in your row and tell them. Now, you don't, remember, we crawl, and then we walk, and then we run. So I don't want you to tell the person the most vulnerable thing in your life. You can say, hey, this morning I didn't feed the cat. Hey, all right. So look at the person next to you right now and say, here's something I don't want you to know, and share it. Everybody do that. All right, did everybody share? Raise your hand if you shared. That's being vulnerable. Okay, let me ask you a question. Raise your hand if you shared. Are you still alive? Yes, yeah, see? You can live through that, right? It won't kill you. It might be a little uncomfortable, but the theme that we're talking about today is being vulnerable. And so if you can just use that as your opener, say hey to your wife. Hey, honey, I'm going to tell you something I don't want you to know. It just kind of like takes the power out of it when you initiate it that way. And then you can go, now I can just relax and be and let God roll through me. Amen? So throughout the day, let's practice that, because that's one of the things we want to do, is start today as an opportunity to really plant some seeds for growth for this men's group. And it comes, our group, Pastor said, we go to our group, man, tears, things come out. People come for the first time and they share something everybody needed to know. We're vulnerable. I mean, we go in and it really brings us closer. So it's all about vulnerability. So speaking of vulnerability, we're going to talk about addictions today. And we think of addictions, we typically think of your typical drugs, alcohol, right? But addictions are like anything that has a stronghold on you. Anything that has a strong, so you can replace addiction with stronghold if you think of only substance abuse. We're not talking substance, we're talking about addictions, right? And, you know, here's the definition. A fact or condition of being addicted to a particular substance, thing, or activity. So we know about the substance. Everybody talks about that, right? Hi, my name is this. I'm a that, right? But what about the thing or activity? We don't talk about those. We think, ah, that's other people. But if there's something that we, here's the test. When we are squeezed, when we are challenged, the thing that we turn to is our higher power. Think about that. When we're squeezed during the pandemic, whatever we turn to is our higher power. What are those, some of the things that men turn to? Just shout them out. Work. Yeah. Work. What else? TV, binge watch Netflix for 12 hours, alcohol, of course. Food, sports, music, cell phone. How about that dopamine hit? Ding, ding, like, ding, ding, right? That's better than any drug is that little dopamine hit that we get off of our phones. What else? There we go, pornography, yeah, right? And the thing about it is they're not all these really stinging, like, bad things. They're just things that we turn to instead of God, right? And that's that if you think of it that way, think of things in your life that you're addicted to, or more importantly, have a stronghold over you, because that's what it's all about. The thing that has a stronghold over you is your addiction. And so we all have them, right? And what happens is there are what I call the four C's of any addiction. Number one is there's a compulsion. If you want to understand compulsion, just watch someone wake up in the morning and grab their phone. Before they've said a prayer, before they thank God, before they kiss their wife, kids, grab the phone and let me see who liked me overnight. Let me get my hit of dopamine of who liked my thing or who posted something that was like me or who's not having as good a life as me. I'm still at the top of the list, right? It's this compulsion that we have. You guys remember, some of you might not be old enough to remember this, but you remember when we used to go to the bathroom without having a phone? Do you remember it still worked? Yeah, we could go to the bathroom. You could actually go in the bathroom, do your business, and you didn't really need to keep up on all the trends and what the market was doing and what COVID, you actually just went to the bathroom. Can you imagine that? You might have had a chance to connect with God because it's a quiet time, right? This is my quiet time. The kids aren't bothering me. I can just like be in silence, sit in solemn silence, right? And solitude and connect instead of looking at what the world is, because we're not supposed to learn from the world. We're supposed to learn from the Word. Oh, I'm looking at my Bible. Well, you can just be in silence and pray if you need to be entertained, or just be silent. So compulsion is number one. Number two is cravings. We have these cravings. It's this need that we have. It's this, I need, whether it's sports or pornography or food or gambling or shopping or whatever it is, it's this craving, this thing that we just hunger for, we crave for. Then comes the consequences. If it's an addiction, there's a consequence. It's not just a hobby. There's a consequence because it's even anything done that's good, that's overextended, becomes a weakness and a negative, right? So we're not just talking about all these bad things. We're talking about even a good thing, out of place, out of alignment from God, has consequences. So if there are consequences in your life, relationships because I'm watching too much TV, overweight because I'm eating too much, pornography, I have different picture of what women look like and I can't relate to women in my life. Something I go to, it doesn't really work anyway. I'm trying to fill a void that I have. There's a consequence to that, right? That's one of the things in our group that we're really good about is sharing those things that we're addicted to, having accountability partners. Like I know guys that will, if a person's got a pornography problem and a guy has shared that and given another man permission to be, you guys remember the game Space Invaders? Be a space invader, right? A guy will walk up to him and say, hey, let me see your phone right now. That's vulnerable, right? That's accountability. That's what men need, to be punched in the face sometimes, right? Because we appreciate that. That's how we communicate. We don't want that from our wives. We don't want to talk about it in church, but we need other men that will speak into our lives and be that consequence or accountability before it gets too bad. Amen? And the last C is control. This thing has a control over your life. Whatever that thing is, it controls you. And I just want you to know, there are no victims in life. There are only willing participants. We willingly participate and give our best to those things for some reason, which we'll talk about. Amen? So those are the four. This is how you can, like, determine, well, that's not really that bad. I just watch TV. Compulsion, 12 hours of Netflix. Cravings, what's the next series I'm going to watch tomorrow? Consequences, wait, I missed somebody's birthday? I missed somebody's party? I didn't connect? I missed all these calls from people in my family that needed me? And control. Start to take control. You no longer have control over your life. So those are just to give you a little bit about. Let's go. What does God say about addiction? If you turn to 1 Corinthians 10:13. Oh, that's nice. I like this. I like this here. This is that thing that I didn't have to write it. God just prepared that it showed up. This thing of trusting God really works. 1 Corinthians 10:13. But when you are tempted, He, meaning God, will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Wow. How about that? Can everybody say, come on, Jesus? So God knows we're going to be tempted, right? By the way, in case you didn't know, the book of James is the best book in the Bible. He talks about temptation, right? And he talks about temptation not being the thing about there, but it's the impurity in our own heart that draws us away to the thing. It's not the thing. It's always a heart condition. It's a heart check issue. Amen? But God, what does he say? Because how many of you know that our God is a good, good father? That's who he is. That's who he is, right? God says he will provide a way out so that we can endure it. From what I remember, Jesus went to the cross to take away all of our sin, sickness, and disease. Amen? So all these things that we're addicted to, that we're filling a void, he's already conquered them. We're already victors today. We're not waiting on that thing. We can declare it now and celebrate. So God provides a way, and he knows that our hearts aren't pure. That's why we need a Savior. None of these things that we do can replace our Savior. No game. I don't care what the team is, if they win the Super Bowl. No food, no shopping, fill in the blank. None of those can replace our Savior. We needed a Savior. He provided a Savior. We've all accepted him in our heart. We just need to let go, like I did this week, and trust him. Trust that his word is true. And then how about this? Act like his word is true. Act like the word of God is true. So I'm going to give you a little bit of a quick anatomy. This is from the book of this James here. According to the book of this James, here's how sometimes addictions can manifest, right? Does anybody know what a heart wound is? Yeah, heart wounds, right? They usually happen like this. When we're young, we're not rational. You know, we're young. We don't understand the world. And somewhere we believe a lie. The lies usually look like this. I'm not lovable enough. I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not tall. You fill in the enough. It's something about enough. We believe that lie because we have an experience. They don't pick me for the kickball team. I'm always last. I'm not good enough. Parents that say, you don't do this and you don't do that and you don't do this. I'm not good enough. Hey, I'm always by myself in groups. I guess I'm just not lovable enough, right? Who can think of kind of what their heart wound is? We all have one. Everybody's got something that they believe back then. And then what happens is this. We have this void in our lives. We have this longing, this craving, this desire for something that God allowed for us to have, but we're looking for it in other people and other things. So guess what we do? We replace that, fill that void with all the things we talked about. The pornography, the gambling, the alcohol, the drugs, the shopping, the work. We fill that void to make ourselves feel enough, whatever the enough is, right? But the problem is, because it's not the real solution, it can never be enough. It can never be enough. We will do it to extreme and ruin our lives because we're looking for the thing. I like to think of it like this. We were all born because of Adam, right? Original sin. with a God-sized void. We all have this God-sized void. And then we search our whole lives for all these things of the world to fill that void. And there's only one. Whoever said there's only one. Only Jesus can fill that void. We're going to talk about marriage later at the end. Many times we look for our partners, spouses, to fill the void for the heart wound that they have nothing to do with that was created in the beginning because we didn't understand our identity in Christ, right? And guess what they do? They fail us every time. Just like these things, they fail us because they were not designed to be our Savior. I'll say about my wife when we do a marriage class. I said, I love my wife. Her name is Kimberly. She's a wonderful wife. But she makes a terrible Jesus. She is the worst Jesus. She can't play Jesus to save her life. Amen? Because she wasn't designed to. And so when we get that right, that alignment right, that only Jesus can be Jesus to us, then we understand how God created us and how we can be fulfilled. So I'm going to give you the formula. This is the formula. I like watching this thing come up here. This is really cool. We need to have this, Pastor, where we talk and they just type. This is amazing. I love this. Okay, here's the formula. This is the formula for activating God's power in your life. Because God promises it. So here's the formula for activating it in your life. Authority plus identity plus action equals power. Authority plus identity plus action equals power. So I'm gonna unpack these really quickly here. So authority. Luke 10:19 says, "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on the what? Serpents and scorpions. And over the power of the enemy." Enemy doesn't have any power, but we'll go with this, right? "And nothing shall by any means hurt you." How's that sound? God has given us the power over everything and the power of the enemy, and nothing shall injure us. We're invincible with Christ. It only comes with Christ living in us. Amen? Here's another example. Matthew 28:18. There it is. I love it. We got to bring this back. We got to bring him back. Matthew 28:18. "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." And we know Jesus lives in us. So that is us. We have all authority. That's kingdom men. We were given authority to reign and rule on this earth and expand the kingdom through sharing the gospel and replicating Christ's image to everybody who sees us. If that sounds exciting, I want you guys to say amen. Yeah, feel free to shout it out. Amen. So authority, we have to take that authority. You know, sometimes people think, we got to take our authority back from the enemy. Anybody ever read the whole Bible? The enemy loses. He doesn't have any. We don't need to keep saying it. We need to take it back. We just need to operate in it. We've been given it. It doesn't say in the Bible, God gave authority to the enemy. No, he gave it to man. He gave it to us. And here's the other thing about men. There's an order in the kingdom. God, Jesus, man, woman, family. There's an order. So don't, well, my wife, she'll do that. No. We are all called to be kings, prophets, and priests of our homes, our churches, our work, and that is not to be done by anybody else. It was given to us. So we have to just take that authority that's been given, accept it, act on it. We don't need to take it back from anybody. Amen? All right, so that's authority. Identity. This is the big one. If you get nothing out of anything, is understanding that our identity is in Christ. Like, identity is the only thing that the enemy can attack in us because he doesn't have any power, because we let him in, because we don't truly know or act in our full identity. And if we did, we would operate in 100% of God's power. So this is one of my favorite scriptures, Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20. I love this. I have been crucified with Christ. Everybody say that. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Come on, say that again. Christ lives in me. Woo! And the life which I now live in the flesh, watch this, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's all you need to know. Our identity is not our own. If you're not experiencing the fruit and the promises in your life, it's because you're operating in the wrong identity, period. That's the root cause. So instead of chasing the symptoms of all the fruit that you want in your life, just get back to identity. Wait a second, hold on. It's not I who live. What am I complaining about? I am dead to sin because of Christ. And so the last time I checked, dead men don't feel any pain. So if you're feeling pain, you're living in your flesh and not in your spirit, right? And we know that the flesh and the spirit are at war every day until Jesus comes back. We know that. And each day, we try to put down more of the flesh, but it's not going away till he comes back. So that's okay. We don't need to have no judgment, no shame, no condemnation. Every morning when you wake up and you open your eyes, return to this. It's not I who live. God, what are we doing today? Like, it's Jesus living in me. It's not my agenda. How are we co-creating this day, God, based on the assignments, the kingdom assignments that you have for me? You've given me authority. I'm lining up in my identity. What are we going to do today, Father? One of the things we talked about with T-shirts is I love to say, always on assignment. Assignments aren't just in church. Assignments just aren't at work. You could be standing in the line at the grocery store and witness to somebody. You could open the door. We are always, as kingdom men, on assignment. Everybody say, always on assignment. We're always looking for the one and the 99, right? We often get together in a group and we go to the people we're comfortable with, but we need to come to groups like this and look for the one. When you go to the store, start looking for the one that you could just have a nice day. How can I pray for you? We were talking the other night at dinner and someone said, it was actually on Wednesday night, the family night, and someone said, every time we ask a server or hostess, can I pray for you? 100% of the time they say yes, no matter what they believe. Who doesn't want good favor, even if they don't believe? I mean, we know even the demons believe, right? They didn't follow, but they knew something was going on that just wasn't for them. So we just need to always be on assignment. Okay, so here's one way to activate. I've got, you see how tattered this is? This is my daily declarations, like 53 declarations. Pastor Chad, I can email this to you. I've typed it up to make it pretty that I share. 53 declarations, and every day I write down three of them. In my morning, I don't call it my quiet time. I call it my victory hour. Come on, victory hour. That first hour of the day is when we declaim victory that's already been won. So instead of my quiet time, it's my victory hour. So the first thing I do is I move in the morning to get going. It's better than having my coffee, yeah? But if you have coffee, that's cool. Then the second thing is to meditate, pray, visualize with God. What does that day look like, right? Then I go into my declarations and then reading the word. That's my first hour from 4 to 5 every day. It's all downhill after that. Like you can call, the next 2 hours I call them my power hours. And I do everything that day that I do not want to get done. And I crush it in 2 hours because of the power that's flowing through me after that victory hour. When I go to work at 8 o'clock, it's all downhill. It's easy. I'm just flowing with God. It's what I call more flow and less hustle. Everybody say more flow, less hustle. T-shirt. More flow, less hustle. The T-shirt can say flow over hustle. How about that? There it is. So, you know, every one of these, I am who God says I am, Philippians 1:6. I have what God says I have, 2 Corinthians 1:20. I can do what all the things God says I can do, Philippians 4:13. Everyone's got a scripture, so you can keep declaring your identity every day before the day starts. So this is a good practice to get into. I can send that to you if you want to share that with the guys. And finally, so we understand authority. We understand identity. That's like having your car ready to go, revved up, and leaving it in neutral. Right? That's called potential. Authority, identity, we have to act. Everybody say action. The difference between action and movement is just moving. Action has a very specific purpose. It's intentional. It's consistent, trying to execute something. So action. We have to be men of action. One of the biggest actions that we can take is with our mouth. We have to speak with our mouth the promises. We have to see them first by visualizing what God's promised, and then we have to open our mouths and speak them into existence. We need to speak them before we see them. We see in our life what we speak. So if you don't like what's in your life, like my mama used to say, watch your words. Watch your words. Watch your mouth, because you're speaking those things. We know that in life you'll get more of what you speak, which is a function of what you believe, which is a function of what you see. So we're always renewing this thing. The 18 inches here is the most critical 18 inches, right? But we have to actually take action. And people will say to me, yeah, you know, I'm introverted. I don't speak. Excuse me, but that's BS. That's BS. God didn't say, this is for the extroverts and this is for the introverts. No, we're all created in God's image. We understand. Our pastor always says, Jesus is perfect theology. So all you need to do is watch in the Gospels how Jesus was. It doesn't matter if you're introverted or extroverted, because it's not about you anyway. Everybody say, it's not about me. It's about his power flowing through you. We don't do things for God. We do things from God. So even if you're introverted, you can open your mouth and say, God bless you. You can open your mouth and say, thank you. It's real simple. You don't have to be born with a microphone like me, always talking all the time. My wife can't wait till I leave, so I won't be preaching to her all day long. Proverbs 18:21 says, the authority that God has given you is released through the words that you speak. How do I release authority? What do we have to do, guys? Speak it. It doesn't say, the authority that God has given to you has been released through what you think, what you do. It says what you speak. So there are a lot of actions we could all take. I want you just to come away today with one action. Speak. Speak truth. If you don't like the fruit that you're speaking, go back to the root, which is what your beliefs are, and continue to renew your mind in that victory time through the word and really practice speaking. Practice simply. Just practice speaking and declaring God's promises over your life. Very simply. Everybody say, I am who God says I am. I have what God says I have. I can do what God says I can do. When you don't see that show up in your life, it doesn't mean it's not true. You just need to keep speaking it until your words match the promise. Till your reality matches the promise. So, and here's the other thing. Sometimes people will say, man, you Christians are crazy. You're talking all this stuff, but look at the world. It's a disaster. But here's the thing. It's not that we deny that the circumstances exist. We live in a crazy world. We've known that for 2,000 years. Everybody says it's getting worse. It's always been bad, right? Since Jesus. So it's not that we deny that the circumstances exist. Here it is. We deny those circumstances the right to have control of our lives. That's the difference between us and the world. We're living in the same crazy world, but we're not of this world. So it's not that we deny those circumstances exist. We deny those circumstances the right to have control of our lives. That's what makes us different. And it's not us, it's Jesus. We just need to surrender, align, and obey, and let him flow. Amen? All right, so there it is. It's all about taking authority, operating in our identity, and taking action. And God's power will flow through your life. So there's no stronghold that can be that can't be broken. What do we say? No weapon against me shall. It doesn't say weapons won't be formed. Weapons are going to be formed. So don't be disappointed that they're formed, but they shall not prosper. Here, it's right here. It's one of the ones I say, right? So we just need to really take that back, allow God's power to flow through our lives. Amen? So what I want to do right now is I'm feeling that, again, we want to put things into action. So what we like to do is everybody stand up. And again, this is all about being vulnerable. But if there are things in your life, if there are strongholds in your life, you don't have to share what it is. I'd like you to come forward. Just come on front. We're gonna collectively come together. We're going to pray. If there's anything in your life that you struggle with, doesn't matter what it is, anything, thank you. Anything that you feel that you need prayer, because God didn't call us to do this alone. That's why we need other mighty men of God to stand with each other. Let's all stand shoulder to shoulder. Yeah, this is in unity. We're going to stand together. That's right. That's right. Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Maybe if we had some of our team kind of maybe lay hands and kind of walk through. Yeah. Absolutely. Everybody come on up. Yeah, we really should all be up here. Come on up. If we're honest, let's just all come together. That's right. Let's connect. Let's connect. Amen. Father, let's just raise our hands. However you receive, this is a chance to receive what God's given us. It's already given it to us. The victory's been secured. Father, we just want to thank you that you love us so much, Father. Sometimes we come to you and we ask for things, and we just sometimes need to thank you for who you are, not for what you've done or what you promise. So, Father, we come together here and the mighty men here in this church this morning, kingdom men who love you, Father, who want to make you proud. And we thank you that you show us how to be a good, good Father. You are the best example of grace, forgiveness, love, mercy. And we just thank you, Father, that no matter what we do, no matter how many times we mess it up, our mercies are new every day. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you that you sent your Son to die on the cross for us, to conquer sin, sickness, and disease so that we could walk as free people, mighty men of God, kings, prophets, and priests, reigning and ruling, replicating Christ's image and spreading the good news of the gospel to everyone who meets us, Father. Father, I know men here are hurting. They've had heart wounds and traumas and things, Father, and you told us it wouldn't be easy. But our peace comes from understanding what it looks like in eternity and not here on this earth, Father. And so we thank you that we can count it all joy in every situation. And Father, I just pray that even though we know all things are resolved when we get to heaven, all things have already been handled in the heavenly realm, Father, that we can see through the natural into the supernatural, Father. We put your super with our natural, and we become supernatural. Father, we just thank you in advance. And we celebrate. We celebrate. We laugh at the enemy. Everybody laugh. Ha, 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 ha. Enemy, you have the last I heard, if you look under your heel, that's where the enemy hangs out, under our heels. So, Father, we thank you that you've given us authority to reign and rule, that our identity is firmly planted in Christ, and our part, our responsibility as kingdom men is to respond to your abilities, not ours. Our responsibility is to speak, to declare the promises. So, Father, we thank you. I pray over all these men here for peace, that you fill them up to overflowing, that when they're challenged, there's no shame, there's no condemnation, that they know that they can come to you, Father, because you're a good, good Father. A loving Father.
Yes, Jesus. And we thank you, Holy Spirit. Right now you're just ministering. You know, addiction is really anything we use to numb the pain. Anything that we use to numb the pain is a form of addiction. And so right now, you know, it's just a great opportunity to say, Holy Spirit, would you just heal the pain? Would you just make me whole again. Heal my heart. Heal this area. Why? Where's this coming from? And so right now we thank you, God, that you're you're touching our hearts, that you're healing. You know, I feel like some of you have regrets, and those regrets have been causing pain and almost like torturing to the point where you can't forgive yourself for things of the past. And God says, I've forgiven you. You have no right to hold that against yourself because he's Jesus. You know, Jesus paid for it. And so right now, just if that's you at all, I just want you to just see that burden, that guilt, that self-condemnation, you know, that can't let go, but because that's caused addictions. It's caused pain, and we naturally have to numb that pain. So we've used things, legal, illegal, approved, disapproved things, you know, to numb that pain. You know, you could even use ministry to numb the pain, you know, over serving, you know, and just to numb the pain. And so whatever it is that you've used to numb the pain, just say, Holy Spirit, take it. I give it to you today. I surrender this thing. Would you heal me for good? Heal my heart for good in Jesus' name. No regrets. No regrets. No regrets. No regrets. No regrets. No regrets. In Jesus' name, you're a good father. You're a good father. You're a good father. So we thank you, God. We thank you, Holy Spirit, right now. Thank you. You're doing a work in us. And right now, we're free. We're free. We're free. We're free. And we just declare that over us. We say, whom the Son set free is free indeed. And we are free. We are free from addictions. We are free from things that hold us down. Thank you, God. We thank you. We thank you. It's a new day. Your mercies are new every morning. This is a new morning. It's a new morning. A new morning. It's a new morning. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Is anybody like a logger or like they work with wood? Anybody here? No? Look, I don't know. I had a vision, and I just see somebody working with their hands. You know, like cutting wood or something like that. And I don't know who this is for. I'm sure this is for somebody, but I just feel like God's asking me, like, to look at your hands. Look at your hands. Your hands were made to build a home over His foundation. His foundation is Him. It's Jesus. It's love. It's God. And that house is your household. It's your family. It's the people around you. And over His foundation, what you build cannot be torn down. Because that's the perfect foundation. It's a perfect spot for your home, for your family, for the people around you. When somebody needs refuge, they go to your home, right? When your kid's in need, when your son comes up to you, it's like, Dad, I got this issue. They step into your home. That's what God has for you. But you have to build it. You have to build it with your own hands, and you can do it. God's giving you permission right now to do it. God's giving you permission to build that home so that your son, so that your daughter can come in and find that peace, find that rest. God's bringing you along on this journey. God's bringing you along. He's telling you, step up with me. We're doing this together. And you can do it. You can do it. We all can. We all can. And I'm growing. I still don't have a family yet. But I know that He's building me up so that I can build that same foundation just along with you guys. And so I hope this is encouragement for somebody that maybe is just asking themselves, do I have what it takes? You do. You do. We're all here because we got what it takes. We're all here because we got that love of God. We have Jesus in us, and we want to please Him. We want the people around us to feel His love so that they can be also attracted to that peace, to that love, to that goodness that God has for us. And so I hope that encourages you.
That's so good. Let's give Jesus praise. Amen. He's so good. He's so good. That's your chance.